Everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. And as you can see from the episode title, I am living the dream because I am here with the great Corey Walton of From A to Arbitration, the spiritual leader of all intrepid podcasters within the post office. Corey, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Dadgum.
Oh, yeah, man. I get right started. I ain't going to waste this opportunity. So Corey is the host of the From A to Arbitration podcast, and we are here at the NALC convention in Boston, and Corey and the CLC is proof positive that people listen to podcasts, and they don't just listen, they hear the message. You know, it's a lot different from when a union president sends out a newsletter to his branch and most of the people just throw it in the trash. You know, in this case, when somebody downloads your podcast, they're engaged with it for sometimes for 3 hours. And shit, I think you've even had some longer than that. And to have that relationship with your listeners, that's valuable. So tell me a little bit about how the podcast itself started.
Well, I had a couple of individuals reach out asking if I would do something like this because the smaller region, smaller branches weren't getting any education. And as an advocate, when you see that, when you get case files not quite prepared,
right,
you know, for arbitration, it's concerning.
Yep.
And so they had reached out about that. I had never done a podcast. I think I listened to one in my entire lifetime.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hesitant, you know.
Right.
I had no podcast equipment. Didn't know what to do, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I've had a lot of help along my way.
Right.
When I first became a shop steward with, you know, Lou Drast and Pete Moss, my business agents helping me out, different people reaching out to help out, had learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't know everything, but have learned a lot, and I was like, you know what? Kind of be selfish of me to say I know all this. I'm going to keep it to myself. And so, yeah, I started the podcast to reach those, you know, those individuals that may never be able to go to training. Their branches probably can't afford training, can't afford to send them to training, whether regional, national, whatever. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then obviously it's kind of taken off a little
Indeed
bit.
Indeed it has. So that shares an overlap with why I started my own podcast, where I saw this lack of training, this lack of follow-up training, and this lack of giving a shit by people who are supposed to be doing the training.
Right.
You know, there's this attitude, I get my branch, that if you don't come to the meetings, then tough shit. You get what you get.
Right.
But not everybody can come to the meetings.
Exactly.
And there's practical. It's not just apathy. People don't have the car. They don't have the gas. They don't have the time. If you got kids at home, a family, stuff you got to take care of, you can't always go to that. And so you're bringing the education to the people who need it. And it's working. It's fantastic. You know, it's helped at every level of the union, and you're doing a great job, Corey.
Well, you are as well. You know, like I said, when I started out, just like you said, you got that, and I think I've said this before, you have that single mother.
Right.
Got three kids.
Yeah.
I have to make sure she's at home when they get off the school bus.
So
she's got to make sure that they're doing their homework. They're, you know, preparing the meals for them. And how are they going to go to a union meeting?
That's exactly right.
You know?
And they deserve to be represented and informed just as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
And they're still a part of this union.
That's why I think our union is failing, is that every member should be educated. If they can't come, what are we doing to make sure that we're coming to them?
Nail it.
And so this podcast is kind of coming to them. You know, they're able to do this in their living room. Maybe while their kids are doing homework, she can listen. Or, you know, if it's a same issue with a man, you know.
Yep.
And that's the reason we need more. Like yours is completely educational. Mine is kind of,
you know, the first 40
a little bit.
Episodes,
yeah.
I've listened back, because when I first started listening, I wasn't really a steward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened, and it was interesting. And I think there's a lot of people like that who just find it interesting. And you make it interesting because of your passion.
Right.
But now that I've been a steward for a while, I went back and, like, re-listened to the first 40 episodes, and I learned so much.
Wasn't too bad back then.
No.
It?
I mean, it ain't too bad now either. Because, look, you're still the voice that this union needs, which is why there's been this movement around it. You're not the only one feeling this frustration.
Right.
You know, I feel this frustration even down at my branch level. I run into some of the same problems that you have. We have currently union president who's not a fighter.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating to send up grievances and they don't want to take them up, or they just settle, or yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I've announced it on my podcast as well. Michael Brazenly and I are running for president and vice president of our local union.
Right.
And, dude, it's great to talk to you and to get your feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't think of anybody better. I'm going to have you on my podcast, yeah, right?
Damn right you are.
Endorsing yeah, you as well, and because we need more like right, you.
Thanks.
That's where our union has kind of faltered, is this good old boy system.
100%.
This is how it used to be. You know, we'll fight this, may not fight that. I want somebody that's, when it's time to fight,
yeah,
motherfucker's going to get up and fight.
You're damn right.
And yeah, so, you know, and I think that you saw that yesterday, Alan, with yep, the movement out there. And hearing how educated the people were in that
absolutely,
vote. Absolutely. It was an emotional right, time, right?
Because it
was. You saw that they were engaged from the very beginning
right,
as a body.
Yeah, getting there early yeah, to get on the mics. Every microphone was like three people deep with CLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
And so, you know, you bring that same passion, that same fire, that same education that we all need. And so, yeah, it's very easy to endorse someone like you, because we have to have fighters at every single position, from the shop steward all the way up to the president of the NELC. And that's what we're going to try to do, is make sure that every single person that
right,
affects a City Letter Carrier's life, as far as that agent representing, is that fighter.
Right.
And so you're definitely fit the bill. So
it's
very
easy
to endorse you, my man.
All right. And yeah, we want to have it where when a steward files a grievance, they know that their hall is going to have their back.
Yes.
And then when the hall fights that grievance, if they can't settle, they need to know that the business agent is going to have their back. And I presume that pretty much everybody who listens to my podcast also listens to yours. But if they haven't, Corey has been endorsed as the Region 8 business agent for the CLC. So what kind of changes do you think you'll bring? Aside, I mean, fighting, obviously.
Right.
But, like, specifically, what kind of changes do you want to bring?
Education. We're a complete failure in our region at educating. And just take, for instance, you talk about advocates. Now, I've been kind of blackballed a little bit.
We're going to talk about that in just a second.
I do local arbitrations, you know.
Right, right.
But I used to, I'd go all over the region, and we became, you know, pretty skilled. But the training for our advocate is piss poor.
Right.
You know, when you go into arbitration, you want that advocate
yeah,
to be a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
And we don't do that. And I don't understand why. Like, you have arbitrators on panels. What kind of training are we doing saying, get together, we're going to break down each arbitrator. What are their pros? What are their cons? You know, here's their decisions. Here's arguments that you need to make in front of them. Here's arguments you don't need to make in front right, of them, like Bayhackle, arbitrator Bayhackle.
All right.
She does not believe in an escalated monetary award. She does not believe in her authority under the joint statement. So are we going to look at pre-arb in those cases to keep them out of her hands? If you're going in front of her, what do you need to do?
Right.
What do you not need to do? We have to. There are very intricate things as far as becoming a very good advocate.
Right.
And we do a piss poor job in this region as far as that. You know, making sure that you're out in the field. Knowing the people need to know who you are, need
right,
to see your face. And
the only time I've seen the business agent in Region 1 was when she was campaigning.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
Yeah. I think that the business agent needs to be more than just a title. You know,
right,
it has to be that person that here's the fighter right here.
Right.
You know, the motherfuckers, we say. Can I say that on your podcast?
100% you
okay,
can.
All right.
Yeah. And so, we're here going motherfucker.
Yeah. Yes. We did yesterday.
Yes, we did. And we're going to motherfucker again on Wednesday.
But to me, it starts with education. It starts with education. Because if you're educated, you make my job as a business agent easier.
100%.
And the grievances are better. And so, you know, it starts with that. So I would say that the main thing when I'm business agent is protecting the carriers in my region, making sure that they understand that I'm here for them,
right,
that we're going to fight for them. And if your steward's not, I will put somebody in there that does. And kind of like that no man left behind mentality.
Right.
I will have people educated and going in as outside stewards to take care of issues if you're not getting it done. So, yeah, that's where we'd start.
That education, obviously it's what I focus on here.
Right.
And it's so important because it's an investment.
Yeah.
And it pays off. Like, what's the downside in getting people educated and getting them coached up? At my own station, I do our morning stand-up talks, and I've started a new podcast called The Postal Stand-Up. It's just equivalent to my 5-minute stand-up talks in the morning. And the idea is just to get everybody coached up. And I tell my carriers, look, as your steward, I'm lazy. And right. I don't want to file grievances if I don't have to. And I'd much rather get you educated and short circuit that whole process so that you never get called into the manager's office. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is what we're getting disciplined for, all right, then here's how we're going to deal with it. And it's just education. And that makes it easier every step of the way down the line.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that investment is critical. All right, so to get back to your position with Region 8, you've been endorsed by James Henry. I was proud to be at that meeting in Las Vegas where they voted on you. Yeah. And I said, I voted for
Thank
you.
But
not that you needed it. It was pretty unanimous, Danny. It was completely unanimous.
Well, that's
but
good.
It was still good to be a part of that. And so obviously James Henry has your endorsement as well.
Yeah.
Tell me what you like about Mr. Henry.
Integrity.
You're damn right.
Integrity. Yep. That's first and foremost. When you see the man, when you're around the man, we have lost that. And I've said this before, you know, the man's integrity speaks for itself. He's a fantastic leader. I always say leader of men, but, you know, it's leader of men and women. But
absolutely.
I think that his pedigree is that with the Marine Corps. You don't go that high without being, you know, established leader.
Right.
And he's militant. You know, the guy's about that business. And so we need that. Again, he understands the city letter carrier. We do not have that now.
Right.
And I will continue to say that until this man is removed as the president, Renfro. We need that leader. We need that person that understands the city letter carrier craft. He's still fighting. And so, it was an easy endorsement for James Henry.
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that leadership. So when Renfro is up there speaking, now, credit where it's due, he has a good speaking voice.
Oh,
he's easy to understand.
He's loud.
Yeah, right.
You know, educated.
Good volume.
Yeah.
But it's, we're happy to be here today. We want to get... And when you hear James Henry talk, you can hear his passion.
Yeah.
And he gets people fired up. I ain't never been fired up by Brian Renfro.
Yeah. Well, Renfro has his talking points.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. If he went to a rap session 2 years ago, then you heard the same rap session yesterday.
Right.
You know, it's the same talking points, which is fine. I mean, if that's the business. But, I can see when I talk about the death of our brother, Mr. Gates.
Yes.
Getting in the streets.
Right.
I can visualize James Henry in that position, getting us in the streets.
He was in the streets in
his
Chicago.
His voice, you know, the power he has, and the contrast to Renfro.
Absolutely.
Who's
unbelievable that he never made an appearance, never made an issue of it. That, how do you let somebody die? I mean, I listened to your podcast last night.
Yeah.
When you say that he was murdered by the post office, that's fair.
But I agree. And a lot of people say that, you know, that's completely crazy. Is it?
No, because you know what the situation is out there.
Absolutely.
You know what you're sending this dude into.
Yeah.
And then to falsify his training records, my own training records were falsified.
Yeah.
My hip training was falsified
last
year.
And to come out to the news media and say,
we give him the training. Yeah, it's such bullshit.
I think it would have been an easy case to make an arbitration that they completely did that to them.
Yeah, right. And what a chance to make a statement to the post office. You know, that's what pisses me off about not taking up grievances, like at the hall or at the regional level, is if you fight and you lose, this is one of the things I love hearing on your show, is that you're willing to fight and lose.
Yeah.
Because at least management knows you're going to fight. You're not just going to fucking roll over and let them do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And if you fight and lose, you're in no worse position. Like in Las Vegas, we have...
What's up, Stevie?
8 o'clock start times for most of our stations. It's hot as shit out there.
Right.
And management will openly threaten us that, oh, if you don't get out in 1 hour, we're going to start moving you back to 9 o'clock and you'll be out in the heat longer.
Yeah.
And our hall doesn't want to fight it. You know, they say, they have in our local, it says they can change start times once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it says that in the local, so they can just do it. But that's bullshit because there's also, you know as well as anybody, like in the M39, there's rules about 80% of the mail. We got safety issues. And if you fight and you lose, you're still at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
But if you fight and win, you just protected your carriers.
Yeah.
And at least management knows that you're not to be fucked with.
Well, that's just like this hip.
Yeah.
The heat illness prevention.
Right.
Him saying he's not going to take it. We just don't see a grievance nationally.
Unbelievable.
I would rather my leader So, hey, we're going to do everything we can. We got some great minds up here at National,
right.
You know, as far as advocates are concerned, people that can make case files, people that understand, you know, national level arbitration. And we're going to put it together And for the city of Letter Carriers, we're going to let y'all see, hey, we're going to take this forward. Win or lose, we're going to take this forward. And we're going to give it the best shot we got. And we're going to put management on notice nationally. We're not going to tolerate this shit. Hell, we just caved in. We just gave up. You know, it's like, we just don't see it.
Right.
So,
what's,
you know, y'all
where's the leadership?
Yeah.
Right. And to have somebody die and say, oh, yeah, we don't see it. It's unbelievable. And that just reminded me of something else that you're doing that I absolutely love. Like you talked about, we should have this grievance settled at the national level or figure out what's working one place and do it every place.
Yeah.
And you're doing a project now with the LMOUs, the local memorandum of understanding.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that hasn't been done already.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you said last night, there's LMOUs everywhere that have these great provisions in them that we could all be learning from.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, one of the things that I love that you do is you have this database of grievance starters, of all these files, and there's so much duplication of effort in the union when that work has already been done. You know, most offices, you file like five grievances just over and over again. And where I work, people are still doing it by hand.
Yeah.
You know, and it would be so much easier to have that database, just print that out. It saves the steward so much time so that you can work on things that are more important to your members, like leadership.
Yeah.
Like education.
Yeah. Well, in 2006, when I became a steward, I didn't have anything.
Exactly.
There was nothing to go to.
Yeah. No resources.
And, you know, I had the J-Cam, you know, in the binder, had the M39 in the binder, M41 in the binder. And then, you know, like I said, Lou Drass sent me, you know, boxes and boxes and boxes of DRT decisions, which I just read. I would have them in my floor just in stacks on, this is Article 8, what are they looking for? Why are we losing?
Right.
You know, why are we winning? Discipline, you know, and then over time, you just kind of put your own, you know, stamp on it. But, I think that more is better, obviously, especially new stewards, which is you see here.
Oh yeah,
so many people coming up saying, "Hey, I had just started, didn't know where to go. Somebody told me to listen.
Right.
You know, now filed 1,000 grievances last year. So, you know, that's you know, it's encouraging.
It is. In my own branch, I am a new steward, and a year ago or so, when I started filing grievances and getting involved, I go down for training. And they hand me the J-Cam. Say, here, read it.
Yeah.
Now, you know,
enjoy
from my podcast,
that.
I did read it. I read that motherfucker all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
And the M39.
Yeah.
And I just finished the ELM, which was a motherfucker.
Yeah.
That thing. But.
And it sounds daunting.
No, yeah.
But when you realize Article 8.
Right.
Article 16.
Right.
You know, get into Article 41. There's some good things in there. But most of the things you're going to deal with, Article 8, your overtime issues.
Right.
Discipline 16. If I get the JCAM Article 16, I'm getting that and reading it front to back until I can memorize that thing. And then you will have those things. And I think this is where the business agent's office needs to come in more. You'll have those things like, you know, CLP, continuation of pay, FMLA. We're having some FMLA issues, a lot to that. OWCP issues, a lot to that. Your business agent can have those people that are well versed in that. They can say, hey, give us a call. We're going to take care of all those things. But yeah, because when you get the J-Cam, it is daunting.
It is.
You're looking at uniforms. You got, you know, you're going through this whole thing like, oh shit.
When I went through it, like I found there's a section on parking.
Yeah.
And then I realized like, oh, our parking lot's fucked up. We should be doing it the way it says in the contract.
That's your grievance.
Yeah. And then I file a grievance. Yeah. And my union president's like, oh, we don't do grievances like that.
Yeah,
you know, go back to the drawing board. And I'm like, dude, it breaks the contract.
And here's what's discouraging, Alan, is that you hear these, and more people are coming out saying that they heard this national telecom where they're saying, discipline the letter carrier for everything.
Right.
Discipline for everything. They're pieces of shit. They're stealing from us. That was the telecom. And since I came out and said that on one of my episodes, more and more people are saying that, you know, that they wear this telecom where they're saying, discipline the letter carrier for everything. Everything that they do, discipline. All the things that they're doing to us, and we're going to hold back on them. I say give them both feet.
You're
right
damn
in the
right.
Ass, you
that's
know what I'm
it.
Saying? So,
yep.
And that's you know, I think that that's where, as a business agent, I'm going to make sure that management understands we run this shit.
You're
and they
right.
don't, you know.
Yep.
You just approve my leave or not and leave me the fuck alone.
Well, you know, really. The contract runs this shit, and that's our role, is to enforce that contract from wall to wall.
Right.
Every word of that contract is a concession from management that we had to fight for. And I ain't about to pick and choose and, oh, they can break the contract here and I don't give a shit. No, fuck that. That's our contract. That's all we have. So until you get elected as Region 8 business agent, which is inevitable. Until then, you are the CLC's director of education.
Right.
And I don't think they could have picked anybody better unless they picked me.
I'll give it. Well, you can have it.
Oh, thank you. All right. Well, maybe we'll talk to James Henry. Oh, and on that note, thank you so much for introducing me. For those of you who don't know, Corey is how I got in touch with James Henry. Yeah. And I talked to Corey, you know, said, hey, I'm this teacher. This is what I'm interested in. I want to support the CLC. And Corey passed my information along to James Henry. And the very next day, he gave me a call.
Yeah.
And I've been with the CLC ever since.
He's good about that.
Yeah, he is.
He's good about
that. He's a really stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Corey, thank you so much for coming on, man. I know you got a lot of business to take
care
of.
We've had fun, right?
Oh,
yesterday
without question.
A good day.
It was. It was so exciting.
It was an emotional day.
It was.
Crazy as it sounds.
Yeah.
But to see the people, you know, the members stand up and say, hey, we're going to run this.
In this case, they literally stood and said,
we're going to run, you know, the members will speak. However the vote goes, how are you going to, on the appeals, keep him, don't keep him, that's everybody's business. That's their own business. But to hear them say, you know, we're not going to be run by a dictatorship.
Yep.
You know, we the members are going to take control of this. And that happened in real time yesterday. How encouraging for those that it was their very first convention to come in to see
the member.
Yeah, to see the member. This is how it's supposed to work.
Yep.
The members should tell the executive council what they're going to do.
It's our
They work
union.
For us.
Yep.
Right? We don't 100%. Work for them. So
absolutely.
All right, my man.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
You're going to come on mine, right?
Absolutely, without question.
All right.
Yep. I'm in.
I'm going to remember that.
Dude, I want to come on. It is okay. You count me in, man. You name the time, and I'm on.
All right, brother. I appreciate you, Alan.
All right. Take care.
All right, man.
Cool.
See you, brother.